Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Sean Kreitz with Fort McMurray Matters. Happy Wednesday. It is October 13th. Today on the show, I'm going to be welcoming our man who knows a lot about the sky and everything around it, our local amateur astronomer, the one and only Mr. John Tupper. I saw you make a comment on a post, I believe it was, John, because, yeah, this lady in Golden, BC, she had that space rock, whatever you want to call it, fall right through her roof onto her bed where she could have been sleeping. But you said, I think your comment said that that's worth a lot of money.
You know, it certainly could be. So it's called a meteorite. That's what you call these asteroids and meteors when they strike the Earth and make their way through the atmosphere and land. And, you know, they're relatively rare. Only about 500 of them strike the Earth every year. And with two-thirds of the Earth covered in ocean, most of them just go splash. So there are people that make a bit of a living prospecting for these things. The value will totally depend on what the composition of the meteor is, what composition of the meteorite is, and how rare it is. But it can get pricey. You know, at the low end of the scale, a basic iron type meteorite would be, you know, 50 cents per gram.
Okay.
So that's 28 grams at an ounce. That's $14 for an ounce.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too.
Yeah, on the middle end, sort of the scale, when they start to get become what are called stone meteorites, they're ones made of rock, not just melted iron, so to speak. Then you're talking prices going up to between $560 to $1,400 an ounce.
Whoa!
And that's competing on the high end with gold. But then you can get some super rare meteorites, and these are lunar and Martian meteorites. They're literally chunks of the moon or our neighborhood planet Mars that got cleaved off the planet and somehow found their way onto Earth and
what?
Then, you know, landed here. Those things are going for, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 a gram.
Well, I can see that. Own a piece of the moon or Mars?
Yeah. And then at that point, you're talking, many times the price of gold. You're talking $30,000 an ounce or more. Which would be a heck of a find. So, you know, beyond just being lucky that she survived, she's got, a potential treasure trove of both scientific and value, information and, yeah.
Okay, hey, John, I got a question for you. You're big into the sky, the stars, space, and everything. Say this happened to you. Everyone's safe in your family. You have a meteorite fly through your roof. It's one of the rare ones. Are you selling it or are you keeping it?
I would, with any of these things, first thing I'd want to do, or the first thing a person should do, is contact a university researcher, have the meteorite analyzed, confirm what it is, let them, extract the scientific information from it for the benefit of mankind. It does also have the advantage of giving you more information on the meteorite to allow you to make decisions on what to do with it.
Gosh, you're so responsible.
It's an unnamed, unsourced meteorite. Doesn't have the same value. It's like a diamond, right? Once you get a diamond classified, it's worth more money than just a raw rock.
Okay.
And these people.
The second thing I do depends on the size of the meteorite. I'd probably, keep a couple around keep a chunk of it around for myself for sure. I'd probably want to see some of it end up in the archives of Alberta or the Royal Alberta Museum if they were interested, or the Edmonton Space Science Center. And beyond that, I'd probably sell a little bit of it to buy some telescopes. I'm just saying.
Of course you would.
Now, these people who make like a career out of finding these rocks, how do they know where they fell?
You know, I don't make a career out of prospecting for these rocks, so I'm not good at answering that question. But what I've read is that they typically will look for areas where there's a lot of wide open space. They'll use various tools, from metal detectors to types of tools that a geologist would use, and they're looking at things like the Sahara Desert, large open spaces. There's also situations. There was a while back in Russia where it was pretty clear a big fireball had come in and broken up into a lot of pieces, and they had almost like a meteorite scramble there where thousands of people flocked to the area to look for where these chunks fell. So some of it is just, from what I've read, is just tracking down sightings of these things, trying to piece together the trajectory and then going looking for them. Others that that people go after are just looking for wide spaces and then certain telltale geological markers. The nice thing about a meteorite is it doesn't have to be fresh. You know, it's not like you're hunting a mushroom here where you're going to pick it in the season. It could have been laying there for 1,000 years, and it's still interesting and valuable. So that's kind of the advantage of it. But, you know, you're only talking 500 a year with most of those landing in the ocean, so these aren't very common objects.
Wow. That is so cool. It's so crazy to be able to say, like, a star landed on my bed. It's also crazy that the star went through this lady's ceiling but didn't go through her mattress.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess it has to stop somewhere, right? But I do want to correct you. It's not a star. If a star were to hit the Earth, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Oh.
Yeah, come on, Steph.
Sorry.
Smart up but, over there.
You know, it is a big chunk of space stuff, and it is crazy. It did you know, kind of come to a rest on her pillow, especially when she wasn't there. First thing I read when I read that article is, how cool is that? The second thing I read is, she's probably even more lucky that she wasn't sleeping there, because not only would that have potentially killed her, but then for the rest of her for the rest of her legacy, she'll be that lady who died when a meteorite hit her in her sleep.
Oh, man, no kidding. That's so grim. John, stay right there. I got a couple more questions for you. We'll be right back on Fort McMurray Matters.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Sean Kreitz. Pleasure to be with you on this Wednesday. I'm joined with this interview with my co-host in the morning, Steph Seidel, and also the man who knows everything about the sky, our local astronomer, John Tupper. Now, John, do you remember with the Northern Lights the other night? Is that, since I just moved here, has a night like that come around often, or was that like a rare night the other night?
It was relatively rare. There was a huge geomagnetic storm that was hitting the Earth from a coronal mass ejection of the sun a couple of days ago. So it on sort of the scale that they use, it was considered to be moderate to severe. Scientists in the U.S. NOAA were watching it because there was some risk to satellites. So it was bright. It was relatively rare. We get them, you know, maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 years of that magnitude. They were getting Northern Lights as far south as Montana. With that said, you know, we are far north, so it doesn't take a massive storm like that for us to get those bright, beautiful lights. You know, even a smaller geomagnetic storm will light up the sky like that here. And you certainly can see it a couple times a year like that, Sean. It's just amazing to see them dance like that, and it really never gets old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I truly agree. It was incredible just all night, and just to see, like, friends from the southern parts of, like, Saskatchewan or Manitoba, or even like in friends in Vancouver, being like blown away that they could see it. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, even southern Ontario got a good glimpse of that, and you know, that's really notable because not only do they have a lot of light pollution there, their skies aren't very dark, but it's also you know, really quite south. People forget that southern Ontario extends below the 49th parallel.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I got one more question. John, since you're so smart, I love having you on. I'm always so curious. Do you know why my phone can pick up the Northern Lights better than my eyeballs?
Well, yeah. Your eyes are just looking at light in the moment, right? Your phone uses what's called a CMOS to which is sort of like the chip that detects the light. It's more like a sponge, so it grabs the light and it holds it. So, you know, your brain is constantly washing away the old information from your eye, and so that you can see the new information that's coming into your eye all the time. It's got a really, imagine it like a really, really high refresh rate. Whereas your phone or any camera, its sole purpose is to essentially memorize light. So when it sees the northern lights, it grabs all of the photons coming off those northern lights into its chip, holds it there, and then displays it for the software. And that's actually why I actually got into astrophotography with the ability to use a camera hooked to a telescope. You can capture more light over a longer period of time from more objects and display them in such a way that is much more vivid and much more intriguing than what your naked eye could see at that moment in time.
Incredible. I just love asking you questions because I just get an answer like that and I'm blown away. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. And mark November 18th in your calendar. We're going to have a lunar eclipse coming up, and that's where the shadow of the Earth is going to move across the surface of the moon. So we're going to take the full moon and turn it into a dimmer and dimmer moon. It's going to turn orange, and eventually the shadow of the Earth will move across it. It'll kind of wink out for a second and then come on back.
All right.
All right. So we'll have to have you on again to chat us more about that coming closer to that date.
Sounds good. Take care, guys, and stay curious.
Thanks so much.
Thanks,
to our go-to guy for things in the sky.
Just going to take our second break here on Fort McMurray Matters, and we'll be right back.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
And we're back with Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. It's October 13th. I'm Sean Kreitz, and I'm also joined today with my co-host, Steph Seidel. Take it away.
The Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce 2021 Business Awards are coming up real soon. And we've already got some of the nominations and the winners for the different awards. We have Diana D'Souza on the line. Diana, can you tell us a little bit about the Business Awards?
Good morning, Steph. Thank you so much for having me on this morning. Always a pleasure to be here. So our Chamber of Commerce Business Awards celebration, basically, it is a celebration recognizing business excellence, right? It's looking at businesses that have had outstanding achievement in the execution of their business, but also businesses that have built-in management practices and other components of their business that ensure sustainability so that they're here for the long term. We started with nominations a few months ago, and those nominations were across a number of categories from, you know, adaptation, social collaboration. Let me actually check on some of those. Female leadership, environment and sustainability, emerging entrepreneurship, indigenous business, youth entrepreneurs, so a number of these. And we received nominations across those categories, and we have the finalists in those categories that we have now published. And now we're at the stage for the People Choice Awards, and there are three categories, which is businesses of the size of the business, so businesses less than 20 persons, small businesses, as well as businesses 20 and above, which is a medium to large business. And then we're looking for the leader of the year. So there are three People Choice. And it's from a selection of these businesses that have been shortlisted as finalists for the various category awards.
No, that sounds fantastic. And then where can people go to do the People's Choice Awards? Where do they have to go for that?
You can go to our website, so fortmcmurraychamber.ca/businessawards. excited that Mix and Cruise are one of the sponsors of the People's Choice Awards. And you can go to that webpage, and there you can vote for your choice amongst the businesses. You can also purchase your tickets for the event on October the 21st.
And how long do people have to cast their vote, and can they do it more than once?
So you can, but you do it once per day, and it will close just prior to the 21st.
Okay.
So you have got a number of days. You can vote for your favorite choice every day from now till the 20th.
All right. So you better start today and get your votes in so that your business is the one that gets the most votes, right?
Yes, definitely.
Is it a big trophy that people win, or what do they win?
A number of businesses that have been nominated in the category have been sharing on Facebook, asking people to go in and vote for them. What you win is the recognition of you. You have already been shortlisted as a business of excellence within this category. And it's an award about recognition and celebration of business excellence. So you are now recognized as a winner of the Chamber of Commerce Business Awards.
I love it. That is a pretty prestigious thing, plaque to put on the wall behind your cashier for sure.
No, I mean, the intention of the award is to recognize business excellence. Yeah. We have so many businesses that they struggle with so many things, and particularly these last couple of years have been very difficult for the businesses in our region. So, you know, we go out and celebrate them, nominate them so that they can be celebrated for working hard and persevering and bringing us excellent service, a product or service here in Wood Buffalo, across the entire region.
I love it. Our guest this morning is Diana D'Souza, the Executive Director of the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce. Diana, thanks so much for joining us today. Do you have anything else you'd like to add about the awards?
You know, no. Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure being here. I would just like people to go out and I would like you to vote for People's Choice, for your choice, as well as, you know, join us on the 21st. We will be conducting the awards at Keanu Theatre, and we will be taking all precautions with COVID, and we hope to see you there.
For sure. I'll see you there, too. I think I get to present one of the awards. I'm pretty stoked about that.
You get to present one of the awards, yes. Excited.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Diana.
Thank you.
Once again, that's Diana D'Souza with the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce. She is the Executive Director. I'm Sean Kreitz. I was joined with Steph Seidel today, my morning show co-host. That's all the time we have for today, though. If you want to catch this episode or more, you can always go on over to our website or wherever you get podcasts. Look up Fort McMurray Matters. That should do the trick. If not, reach out to us and we can make it happen. With that being said, have a great day, and I'll talk to you later.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker, Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.